I really had, fun's not the right word, but I really had enjoyment in putting the sermon together because it's so full of vitamin C kind of stuff. It's just every bit of it, of this theme of the Lamb of God, it just fills you with another thought. Say, wow, how wonderful are these blessings that the Lord has made in my life, all because of Jesus. And so bow with me, would you? Lord, I pray that we would not miss anything of the gems that are in this passage, these passages. We pray, God, you'd speak to us, and may you become more precious than ever. And we'll thank you and praise you, Lord, for who you are and what you've come to do and what you will do in the future, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I called this the book you don't want to miss, and you certainly don't want to. You don't want to miss not being in it. It's, let me read from Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 6. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never be blot his name out of the book of life. The book of life. It's the only book is there any other book that's, if you went to anybody's shelf, would it be the book of, no, it wouldn't be. There's something wonderful about this book of life. And the writer checks to see whose names are written in that book. This is a book called the book of life. And many times over the years of my life, I mean, maybe hundreds of times maybe, I remember praying with somebody and said, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? And a person would say, no, I haven't. I said, is Jesus precious to you? Are you in the Lamb's Book of Life? So why don't we pray that God will place your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, all right. And they'll pray, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me and for paying the penalty for my sin. And I ask you now, Lord, to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that never does it, it always stirs something in our hearts. And sometimes they don't even know what they pray. What is that? And you have a chance to explain it sometimes, or you need to explain it sometimes. But God's got a book. It's called the Book of Life, or the Lamb's Book. And you just don't want to ever miss it. Listen to this passage from Revelation chapter 10. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. So let me just pause. The passage, just a little bit before, it has to do with demons. And Jesus is showing them how to cast out demons and how to see Satan. And he said, when you were praying and when you were ministering, Jesus said, we saw Satan fall like lightning. We saw him fall like lightning. It was wonderful. We conquered the devil. That's what they were saying. And the writer comes in now in Luke 10. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. I mean, it is quite a thing. That the devil is subject to you, subject to me. That's a truth. That's a biblical truth. But rejoice. It says there's something better to rejoice in than the fact that all the demons in hell tremble at your presence. But rejoice, and here it is, that your names are written in heaven. I wonder why he wants it that way. It's a good thought for discussion. It's a good thought for coffee this morning or lunch when you go home. Why is it so important that he has our name? Well, I guess everything, but he wants your name. If you go to the bank and you want to get a loan, they want to see your name. No, let's just call it a gentleman's agreement. No, they want your name. You go to get a license. I don't think I'll pay for that. I don't think I need to worry about that. And they insist that you get that license and then you sign for it. So there's always somebody wants you to, they want to put your name somewhere. And in this case, your names, he said, are written in heaven. Written in heaven. Wow. So the Lamb's Book of Life. I got to Cam too late today, but I went through a bunch of paintings that I had seen in something. It was an art display. And it had this famous painting Obviously, I don't even know what it's called. But it was fantastic as the nations of the world were standing like this and the Lamb was standing slain and with blood coming out. And it's touching. I said, wow, there's a picture for us to just meditate on. The Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation chapter 21, 22 to 27. And I saw no temple, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb, verse 23. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Verse 24. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And the gates will never be shut, by day, and there will be no night there. Revelation 21, verse 26. And they will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. Verse 27. For nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written, here it is again, only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's important to the Lord. You know, for years, I would sign my letter, you know, so you can say it, love Owen or love Bob or love John, you know, you write that. And for a long time, I was writing this until I found out that someone else had already been saying that. So I thought they would think I was plagiarizing. So I'll stop, which I have stopped. But I would still like to resurrect it. I wrote on the bottom of every letter, in the Lamb. Owen. And then I came across Francis Schaeffer of Labrie fame back in the 70s. And he signed all of his letters in the Lamb. And so I thought, well, I better get permission because probably copyrighted or something along that line. But the preciousness was not lost in the Lamb. That's how we want to be seen. That's who we are. We are in the Lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is that precious or not? John 1:29. I like to put that up against that passage, put it up against Isaiah, where Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. You know, I think you know all that passage. But he takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes, and this is John saying that, he spots Jesus. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wow. Maybe that's why he's precious to us, because he takes away our sin. And not only our sin, but the sins of the whole world again. John 1:29. As the next day he saw Jesus coming to him, and I'm repeating it, but the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded by our transgressions, he was crushed by our iniquities, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everything we've ever done, past, present, or future. Anything where we have sinned, all of our sins. Imagine that, all of our sins. The iniquity of us all. How many people in the world? Is there 7 billion? I think there's 7 billion, isn't there? Last count. 7 billion people for whom Christ died. That could be more precious than that. That his heart's desire that everyone would be saved. None would perish, all would be saved. That's his heart's desire. And so this Lamb's Book of Life has the names in. I came across 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Don't know if you've seen that lately. I don't remember reading this for quite a while, like a long time. And when I went over it, I thought, what a wonderful, let me just read it. 1 Corinthians 5:7. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Yeah, amen. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. I guess they didn't slip that in the last few weeks, or did they? But I didn't see that before. And I rejoiced with great joy as I read that. I read it over several times to make sure I got it right. For Christ, our Passover, he's the Passover lamb. We get that, don't we? Oh, how precious. And then, absent from the book, Revelation 17 and verse 8, and the dwellers on earth, whose names have not, are you catching this, have not been written in the book of life. That would be a question, wouldn't it, to ask people, if you get to know somebody, share a little bit with your heart, their heart, and for somebody to ask the question, is your name in the book? Wouldn't that say, we've had this conversation, wonderful to talk to you. Can I ask you a question? Is your name in the book? Nothing else matters more than this, does it? I don't think so. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's what you will be asked someday. That's what I will be asked someday. Is your name written in the book? Whose names have, and the dwellers on earth, whose names have not been written in the Book of Life from the foundation of the world. So the books are opened. And there's something that God seems to have about books. The books are Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and verse 15. I'll just read it. Then I saw a great white throne, the great white throne judgment, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. I don't know how your imagination works, but I thought when I read that, I read it, of course, many times over the years, that earth and sky fled away and there was no place for them. Where did they go? Well, where did the sky go? That's quite a question. And no place was found for them. Somehow, was sucked into oblivion. And he said it was not found. And I said, oh, you know, if you could ever make a movie from the Bible that would really be accurate, it would be one amazing, amazing story, graphically portrayed. No place was found for them. And I saw, I wonder if you and I will just be suddenly standing there naked, as it were, and the whole universe, and we're left. And as God questions us, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? The one question, the one place you want your name to be, you want your name here. You don't want to tamper with that, the strength of that. And he says, and I saw the dead. I saw the dead, great and small. You know, the closest I ever came to a lot of people dead was my father had taken the contract on for a cemetery to do lawn work and that. And so I was helping him. At least I thought I was helping him. And I was actually spooked being out there, because I kind of thought some hand will come up and drag you down. And you too. There was just something about a cemetery that some people find peace there. I don't quite as much, as it just seems kind of a little different. But I have been beside people who passed away, and I've been at the graveside, and it's kind of different. And you realize that this person is going to come back. They're going to be standing. They're going to be brought back. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. All of them, everyone. Everyone who's ever been born is standing in front of the throne. There'll be no escape. You have no excuse. It's just, that's how it's going to be. That's how the universe is going to end. Us standing before the great white throne, the billions of people, the roar. And you think of that, wow. Before the throne. And then he does this again. And books were opened. Why would God have a need of books? But maybe it's just a metaphor, but I suspect it's not. Books were opened. And then, if you're following this, and then another book. All right? So books were open, books, plural, were open, then another book, just one book, this case. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books. So that's why there's a resurrection coming for all people who have died. And they will be resurrected according to what they'd done. What did I do with my life? Did I honor God? Did I be faithful to him? Or what did I do? That's pretty sobering. Very sobering by what they have done. So that matters. It matters how we live our lives. There's a judgment coming. By the way, you never hear anybody ever talking about hell. I could put every sermon I've ever heard, there'd be about two of them. I guess it's embarrassing to us to actually talk about it. You're not going to talk about hell, are you? Well, maybe I should have warned everybody, but the book is real, the people are real, and these things that start happening, it's quite amazing, actually. So they were judged by what was written in the books, plural. I wonder why the multiplicity of it. Why is that? That'd be, again, another good question to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead. I think all the bodies, they'd be decayed by now, I would assume. But they're surfaced. They're brought up. So if someone thought that they could hide in the depths of the sea, not likely that's going to happen. And the sea gave up the dead and those that were in it. Verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Boy, oh boy, this thing just gets stranger and stranger, doesn't it? This is the second death, the lake of fire. So hell is not the end. Somebody said, well, you'll end up in hell. No, the lake of fire is the end. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And if anybody's name was not found, imagine, is there a giant scanner? What will it be? I don't know. It was not found written in the book of life. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It's kind of, from my perspective, I kind of want it to be kind of tidy and Jesus holding flowers and something that's kind of mild and doesn't offend anybody at any time, at any place. Is this nice? No matter how I live, no matter what my life's about, I'm just going to come waltzing in. No accountability, no watching over what this was about. It's not going to be that way. This is going to be. By the way, I can remember being afraid of things like this when I first became a Christian, because I had never heard that before. But when I gave my heart to Christ, I knew that that was the truth. Ever had done it? I just knew. I knew it was the truth. I didn't. You could have given me seven more books on it. I could have looked at them, but I knew that that was the truth. That this day will come when the whole world will stand before the Lord. And so what do I want? I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know what side I want to be on this thing, because I've read the end of the book. And you don't want to not be ready. I think that will be the greatest surprise to people. See, and by the way, it's either true or Jesus lied. And John lied. Did they lie? I don't think so. Pretty sure of that. And so it's indeed sobering to us. And it should be, and it must be. It isn't just a waltz in. There's things, there's implications. Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain. And we will, and of course the whole world will give an account of that as well. But the preciousness of it, apart from this, I'll just finish the sentence. Written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I don't even hardly want to comment because I don't really know what that's about. But I know what it creates from my heart. Lord, write my name in the book. That much I know. I don't know what else I'll get out of this morning, but I know that. Lord, write my name in the Lamb's book of life. That's a great thing. The book of life. And it's made up of people's lives. I wrote, thank you, Lord, for John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God. See, the Lamb is in the midst of all of this. And when we see him, he's a lamb slain, given, preparing everything for our hearts to be there and to be, everything to be right. So we thank the Lord for John 1:29, and we thank the Lord for Isaiah 53, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Here's the thing. You don't have to be even slightly worried about this, providing that you have obeyed the word of the Lord coming to you and me coming to you. What have I done with Jesus? And I don't have to be afraid. He died for us that this would never be an issue. Not now, not then, not ever. We don't have to get up every morning and say, oh boy, I don't know. No. But it's sure grateful to say, Lord, thank you. We know who you are. We know where you are. And we know that wherever you are, you want us to be with you. He's not looking for he's not looking for something that isn't there. He wants you there. And my neighbors, he wants them there. He doesn't want to punish them. He wants to save them, doesn't he? I think he does. I believe that. And if my neighbor was here, I would be the first to say, you need to be saved. So that your name will be written, this Lamb's book of life. There is your name. I don't know if we were signing up here. I don't think this is the same thing, but there's a sign up over there on the way out. I don't think that's the one we're talking about here. But it's funny how we're saying, have you signed there the membership? Have you signed? And we want some kind of a commitment, right, for the annual meeting. It's something we have to do legally. But when the Lord's writing, I wonder at what point was it when he said, Owen, I want to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think it was the night that I cried and I wept that I was saved. I was saved. Is there anything better than that? We don't even hardly use this term, but to be saved. I'm saved because of the Lamb of God. And that can never, it's just fantastic and beyond belief that I got in on this. How is it? I might have been into some book, but it wouldn't have been the book of life. The Lamb's book of life. It's his. And he wants to write our names in it. I don't know how many names there will be. Will we get there? Will there be rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of people? I don't know. There's going to be some surprises. All you have to worry is when you get to heaven's gate, and you remember this, that I said this to you, and if the angel of the Lord says, why should I let you in? Why should I let you in? You know, there's only one answer. You can't say, because I was a good person. Because I was busy, you know, I went to church a lot. I never hurt anybody, never killed anybody. How's that? No, that's not the right, it's the wrong ticket. You can't get in here with that ticket. There's only one ticket. Because I believe Jesus Christ died for me and shed his blood for me. That's the ticket. That's the only one. And when it doesn't matter, don't be afraid when you get to that, as you know, as Peter always, we always think the same thing about Peter, But when you get there, you don't need to worry about your good works or anything, because you didn't have any, really. You're self-centered like the rest of us. But I haven't done anything to warrant it, and that's the beauty of it. I simply gave my heart to Christ and meant it. And because of that, he's, come on in. Why? Because you got it right. This is, the only thing that's valid is that you belong to the Lord. And we have this great opportunity. But we're not to be walking around in fear and being worried about this. Because when I speak on a sermon like this, there's always a few people that will say, you know, you really kind of scared me. I thought this salvation was for once and for all. I really don't worry about it now. Now you're going to maybe upset me. And they're all upset, right? I say, do you know Jesus? Yeah. Did you invite him into your heart? Yeah. I said, do you think he died? I know he died for it. Then why are you worried about this? We have that kind of insecurity about ourselves, I think, that all of a sudden your salvation didn't work. No, it's just that he is going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's going to write mine. I believe he's already written it, my name. We used to sing songs like that. O Lamb of God, I come. Remember that song? And there was a lot of songs about that, about is my name written there? Right? Is my name written there? And so as we ponder this morning, just simply, you might want to, when you get home, how many keep a journal of some kind? Two. That's good. I've been keeping a journal since, kind of a journal. Sometimes it has lots in it, sometimes it doesn't have too much, but I've been writing it since 1971, because the Reverend Lauren Pritchard got me on it, because it really was, he said, you need to show a little job security, and so they may ask you what you've been doing as an intern, so I need to tell them something, so why don't you keep a journal, and I kept it ever since 1971, but I noticed when I've written it there, the precious things that are, some of it just, you know, pick up eggs and milk, that's not that profound, but it is when you wrote, how I thank God for Jesus, the Lamb of God. And I wrote it in, because it was precious. And these kind of truths need to be precious to us. Not religious truths, but reality truths. It cost the Lord, for to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it cost him everything. I can hardly wait until it all begins to happen. But I don't, you know, even when you think of the books, I don't know why the plurality, it talked about to what they had done. It's in that part of it, it was about what you did. For another part of it, I believe it's a part of, have you given your heart to Christ? I think that's another part of it all of itself. But then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Wow. And you could go on with it, but that's the essence of it. This other book, one was for regarding salvation, whether you had been saved. The other one was about your deeds. And I think even unsaved people will be there too. I believe that. So actually, I'm going to open up in a couple of moments just for your thoughts on it. But I've been enjoying this thought here this weekend. And I'm grateful, very grateful to know Christ. Just so grateful. And for John 1:29 and Isaiah 53, just rich stuff. You build your whole life on it, because it'll never change. It'll never change. Anybody just want to add a thought, just a rich thought you might have and say, well, this is really something, it doesn't have to be what I said, but it might be something that you just have made, it's been made real to you in these days that we're living in. Anybody? Yeah, Kathy.
This is a powerful and rich word. Thank you.
Oh. Thanks for being here. We need to talk. Remember, don't leave town without talking. Okay. Anybody else? Just a thought that you had. Oh, it was really precious to you. I didn't want you so contemplative that you're afraid to share anything. I'll just wait. Yes. 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 Yeah. Amen. Please.
I don't have my Bible with me, but you know how you had Isaiah 53 quite far back, I'll read it that she can find.
Yes. You're doing good.
But it, you know, it says now that you are, in other words, you know, we're following.
Oh yeah. Okay. And where's that from?
2 Peter 2:25.
See, she's memorized it. That's great. That's fantastic.
But we were sheep, but now we're following.
Oh, I see. Yeah, lost sheep.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yes. Yeah, we were completely lost sheep. If the shepherd had not found us, we'd be in super, super trouble. You know why? Because I know my nature. Wouldn't you be the same way? Without Christ, you and I would be wandering, so lost, and now so found, and we love the Lamb. And so I'm going to find out if I can write that with permission, but I like to thought, in the Lamb. Oh, and you might want, Caroline, you might want to have your own too. In the Lamb, Caroline. I mean, that's her position in Christ. So, one more. We'll take one more person. Yeah. Alan.
The author George MacDonald has a story of how it really helped me think about sort of this, resolve of this threatening side of this whole idea. That he's saying that God is doing the best that he can for everyone.
Carry on.
And I think of the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. And it just doesn't stop there. He's working in little ways for everyone.
On their behalf. Yeah, George MacDonald said that?
To give them everything.
Yeah, George MacDonald.
Yeah.
So if God be for us, yeah, who can be against us? If God be for us, then, right? Doing whatever he can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, by the way, I think it's very hard to get to hell. I think it's very difficult. You have to climb over God. Right? You have to climb over him. You got to get past him. And he's not going to be easy to get past. That none would perish. Right? None would perish. He's for us. He wants us saved. He wants us filled with the Spirit. You're right. He wants all these things and then some. Whatever is needed, he'll provide for it. And that's why we must not go in and fall into works. You know, doing things, the time of earning. It's giftedness. It's things gifted to us. Yeah. That's a very good thought. Don't you wish you would have said that instead of George MacDonald? That's a great thought. Yes. My wife loves George MacDonald. So. Okay, we'll take one more. I'm enjoying this. John. A little bit louder, John. Oh, yeah, so it's finished, that work. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, so, and then you could go on just living as normally one would, knowing the rest is taken care of in Christ. Yeah, I think that's true. John, I remember when you got saved. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Wow. Anybody else? Just want to give you a chance to before we pray. Let's stand. As I was reading these scriptures, I thought that I would read more scriptures, so I didn't get done. I'd done sooner then. Imagine getting done sooner. Can you handle it? We'll have coffee afterwards. But I think there's 50 or 60 kids away, so if it seems quieter in here, I think that's partly what it is. Let's pray. O Lamb of God, we come to Thee. Lord, thank You that You're forever trying to improve us, to bless us, to present Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we're grateful that You have placed us in Christ and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's settled. We're not worried about this, Lord. We bless You and we praise You. And we thank You, Lord, this is important to You. And therefore, it's important to us. We pray that You would draw us close to You. Lord, in this time of history, we pray, Lord, that Jesus will be made more real to us than ever before. Thank You, Lord, for who You are and what You've done. We love You, and we thank You and for the blessings of God and all the good things, the rich things that come with that. We're grateful, and we pray this in Jesus' strong name. And Lord, just keep Your hand on the young people as they make their way back here at home. Thank You for each one. Bless them and touch them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. The coffee pot is on. We might want to move it in a little bit here just to keep us the right temperature.